This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Somewhere.
Yeah, Bob Gibson joins us from the Charlottesville Daily Progress for his regular Monday update. And where do you want to start? Where should we, the big news, of course, today is that for the first time, Webb now is polling 1% ahead of Allen, although it's statistically a dead heat.
It's a dead heat within the margin of error of the poll, and it's a small sample. So, nobody's placing a whole lot of credence in this individual poll, but it's just evidence that George Allen has had a terrible last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and what did Zogby call it, a colossal political mistake or something like that?
Yeah, well, it has been. I mean, George Allen not only didn't know how to handle the video, you know, part of his campaign staff saying he has nothing to apologize for, and then, you know, 10 or 12 days later, he makes an effusive, repeated apology.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
And then it was a headline each time. I apologize. And then his supporters are like, well, stop apologizing.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's hard. It's hard to, but I think the story has played itself out, but it's also played its way into people's minds. And now, Webb is back in the game.
Yeah. And of course, you added some context to that story, with a recent blog on the Daily Progress blog, your story, regarding Gary Grant's, memories.
Well, Gary and another official who I will not name, have both been visitors in George Allen's former home out in Earliesville. And the story broke right here on WINA last, time he was running for governor in 1993, that George Allen had a Confederate flag on his wall. And of course, everybody picked that story up, and there was a lively discussion of it, and the Allen campaign and George said, well, it's part of a collection of flags. Well, it turns out the collection, according to these two officials who have been inside the home numerous times, consists of a Confederate battle flag on one wall and a large American flag on the facing wall. So the collection of flags may have been two flags.
So not really a collection, but...
Well, I mean, I think that was...
Maybe he was just getting started.
I think that was the spin that they were putting out to try to minimize the damage at that time. And I think, you know, it worked its way into the public consciousness. Everybody knows that George Allen had a Confederate flag on the wall of his home.
Yeah. There was also Gary Grant remembering a time when he happened to be singled out in a crowd at an Allen speech.
That was less than a year ago. And in that... event on November 4th last year, George came to Wolfie's Bar and Grill, which is often a Republican gathering place, and there was a rally, and the entire statewide ticket, Kilgore and Bowling and McDonald, was there, and there were local Republican candidates, including Gary Grant. Well, Gary had ridden his bike over. He'd parked his car at Four Seasons, and he'd ridden his bike over to Wolfie's, and George saw him in the crowd and noted him and said something about his sissy helmet. And Gary was offended. I mean, you know, if you're riding a bicycle, you're supposed to wear a helmet. It is
the law, isn't it?
It's only common sense. It's safety.
Yeah.
It's a safety thing. And, you know, for George to single out Gary and hit him with that as he's sort of boosting the fortunes of the statewide Republican ticket, Gary was, he was a little bit hurt.
Yeah. Well, I would be. I mean, I think anybody would be singled out and made fun of for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, George has done that before with helmets. He just doesn't like helmets.
Yeah. And of course,
except the football kind. I think he wore those.
The context continues in Stanton when, George Allen was recently confronted by a UVA law student.
That was last Friday, I guess. He was over in Stanton for, part of his listening tour around Virginia, and they had an event at a hotel in Stanton, and it was a Chamber of Commerce luncheon. And I believe the UVA law student, whose first year there, had paid $20 to attend this chamber luncheon, and then sort of broke into the ranks of reporters and started asking George questions as the senator was leaving this event. And the first question he asked was, have you ever used the N-word? And George goes, sheesh, and doesn't answer the question and says, you know, basically, I'll talk to you later afterwards somewhere else.
Yeah.
And
they got him out of there quick.
an aide to Allen and an official with a hotel ushered him out.
Yeah. So what does all of this mean? I mean, can you distill all of this for me? Because it's, number one, it's sad that these are the headlines from a campaign when you would hope it might be more about stem cell research.
Well, it's the middle of August and late August now, and you know, that's the kind of story I mean, as I was driving back to Charlottesville from Richmond this afternoon, the breathless lead story on CBS was that they aren't going to file charges out in Colorado against this guy who, for the last...
Oh, yeah, he didn't have anything to do with it.
The last 2 weeks, we've been, you know, overdosed in the news with this guy and his possible relationship to this awful 10-year-old murder.
Yeah, but of course, they're not going to file charges because he doesn't match the DNA evidence.
Yeah, the DNA, if the DNA doesn't match, you must acquit.
Right, right. What does it mean for Alan? Is it as bad as you think? Some of the blogs out there are saying, well, you know, it's going to be a lot closer race than we thought it would have been, but, you know, likely Alan will still pull ahead at the end.
Well, it is closer. There's no doubt the last two polls have been within the margin of error. And, you know, still no one has seen or heard much of Jim Webb. And Jim Webb has got to make his campaign in evidence to most voters pretty soon, or people are going to start wondering, you know, who's this guy running against George Allen?
Yeah, yeah.
That's why this poll is so unusual that shows Webb with a one-point lead. Webb didn't do that.
He hadn't done anything.
He hasn't changed.
S.R. Siddhartha Makaka did that, you know?
Yeah, that was Allen self-destructing.
Yeah, it really is something though, because everybody's saying, well, where is he? I mean, if this is a race and he's doing well, where is he?
Well, people in the campaign say that he doesn't like the duties of a candidate in raising money, that he's not very good at it, that he sort of tries to shy away from that side of the job. Well, if you're running against a senator who's got $12 million in the bank and is going to have $20 million, you've got to have something to put on TV. You've got to be buying mail and ads and have a campaign staff and get your message out. And that part of the Jim Webb campaign we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, a senator who is not only good at that kind of thing but enjoys that kind
he
of
does.
Thing.
He does. You know, George has always been a campaign machine. Yeah, I think he must have been tired that day at Breaks Interstate Park.
Yeah, that's a good point. We're talking with Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. We invite you to join the conversation here at 977-1070. George is on the phone. George, thanks for the call. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hi. Gee, there's so much been covered, but I got to make this comment. I hope no Radcliffe girls are suing the astronomers because cold, icy bodies sounds very familiar to me. And...
celestial bodies. Now, come on.
Look, I'm just telling you what the rumor was. But in my opinion, if Allen did real damage to any presidential or, let's be realistic, vice presidential hopes he might have.
That's the way they're...
have had.
That's the way people are looking at this.
I don't think he could risk for the Senate.
Yeah.
But I think he can write off, and I mean it, write off right now any hopes that he... had of being a national contender. What's your opinion, Bob?
I think you've hit that one squarely and hit a double out to right field. there's some chance that this year's race will be rejuvenated and has been rejuvenated by the remarks that Senator Allen made out in Breaks. But I think the real damage is to his 08 presidential aspirations. We all know he had those. He's been traveling from South Carolina to Iowa to New Hampshire, making speeches. He even told an audience in Iowa that he wished he'd been born there. I think those hopes have seen serious damage in the last 2 weeks. And now, instead of a race that was a 18-point blowout for George Allen in the Senate contest with Jim Webb, We may have a competitive race on our hands. We do have another debate that was just agreed to between the pair. That'll be in the second week of October. It'll be televised from Channel 6, WTVR-TV in Richmond. That will be an interesting event because there are very few of these, and an hour-long televised debate could have some impact on the race.
Bob, are you surprised that Allen even knew the word? Because I had to look it up. I know macaque, which is a rhesus type monkey, but I didn't know this derivation, and I'm just amazed George Allen even knew the word.
Well, I was surprised.
Me too.
And I didn't know the word, and I had to look it up. But it turns out that George Allen is of a parentage that includes a French Tunisian mother, and in that part of the world, it's a very common word, and not a very nice word, apparently. So apparently he may have heard it around the home growing up. I don't know. There's been a lot of speculation about that.
And he meant it then, if he knew it.
Well, yes, I think it was. It was clearly in the context he was using it. He was poking fun at this kid and you know, being a little mean to him.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a way to become vice president, you know that?
Well, again, it was the fourth event of a long Friday campaigning across Southwest Virginia, and I think he just sort of let himself go in a moment of being tired and not thinking clearly.
Well, whatever you say about Dick Cheney, he doesn't do that.
No. You know, George Allen seriously hurt his presidential aspirations. There's absolutely no doubt about that. What happened this year for this year's campaign, it's anybody's guess right now. We the polls say it's within the margin of error, but we haven't seen anything from Jim Webb yet.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you, George, for the call. Let's go to take a very quick break. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now. We're talking with the Daily Progress political reporter, Bob Gibson. Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress joins us. The big word coming out of Richmond today is they finally have set the date to deal with transportation.
September 27th. It looks like they're about to go into a three-day session a month from now. What they did today was not much. They sort of gave themselves a month off.
Right. Because a lot of folks don't know they were actually down there.
They're still
today.
In session.
Yeah.
They're still in session.
And
every once in a while they show up in Richmond and they don't do much except sort of blame the other side for various shortcomings. Today the blame was all over the math error that shorted localities in their state funding for education.
Explain that to us. What exactly
happened?
That's
a very difficult thing to explain because it happened in the last administration and no one was told about it. It happened in the last several months of the Warner administration. And Secretary Bennett, the Secretary of Finance for Warner, who's now an administrator at Virginia Commonwealth University, took the blame for not telling anybody. He sort of assumed that what at the initial stage was a $30 million math error due to, and these are rather common, believe it or not, in state budgets, and would have been fixed, but it got tied into a change in the way the retail sales tax is calculated. So it got blown up. It was a subtraction addition error. And it got blown up into $138 million error.
And that's money for schools, though.
That's money for schools, and it will be eventually put into those school budgets for 1 year. It's really kind of a windfall for these school divisions, and they will be getting it, but they didn't do it today. They just argued about it today.
Right. Now, who decides where all that money goes? Are they going to spread it evenly?
There's a formula for that.
There is, okay.
Yeah.
And so the big dates are September 27th to the 30th will be all the votes.
That's when they will come back in and they'll do something. We don't know yet what. Probably won't be a great deal, but they'll do something about transportation.
What do you think is going to happen?
I think they're going to go ahead and pass what everybody agrees on, and that is offenders who are habitual bad drivers, reckless drivers, speeders, are going to get hammered. And they're going to try to get $100-200 million a year in additional money out of people who break the law. As poor drivers, especially habitually poor drivers.
Far cry from the billion that some folks, certainly the governor, are saying that we need to actually
fix transportation. Yeah, well, the governor and the Senate wanted $1 billion in new money that was dedicated revenue so that it would come year after year because you don't want necessarily a one-time dollop of funds from a surplus if you're really in need of a source of funding.
Yeah. Is all of this is this shortage of transportation? Is it really a result of the Gilmore no car tax a few years back? When
I think that's related to it, but I you can't blame the whole thing on that. I mean that was a decision by the state to go ahead and give some people some tax relief, and it ended up at 70% of the payments people were making on their personal use automobiles, and now that 70%. Having been capped is sort of slipping back, and it's becoming 60% and 55%. So your car tax relief is slowly slipping away as people have more and more expensive cars.
Interesting. And also the big news coming out of the General Assembly today is that they a couple of things. They voted to end the so-called estate and/or super rich estate tax in Virginia.
Right.
Death tax or whatever you want
to
call it.
That was part of a deal that allowed them to double the limit on the conservation land easement tax credit. So instead of a $50 million limit on that very worthwhile and laudable program that everybody agrees is helping people set aside open space in perpetuity, they doubled that to $100 million, which is roughly what the program has been for the last several years. So that's not going to be diminished by the budget problems of this year. And people were glad to see that fix. And they also did away with the estate tax in Virginia, which basically affects only the richest of the rich. It's, what, 3,000 families?
3,000 families nationally. And to everybody, you know, third-party scholarly research on this thing, zero family farms have ever been affected, and yet conservatives have made the argument forcefully that this is something that affects family farms.
Well, it's funny because, you know, the family farm argument, it doesn't really touch a lot of family farms, as you've noted, but what changed this around and made it a winning issue for the Republicans was changing the name from the estate tax to the death tax, because when they put the death tax into popular use as the popular name for the estate tax or the Republican label for the estate tax, everybody can imagine paying a death tax. Nobody, I don't have an estate that I'm going to pay a tax on.
Right, you know? Right, right.
If I go, I go, and there's no estate to pay a tax on. But the death tax kind of hits people a little differently.
Because everybody dies.
And they want to, everyone wants to pass on something to their children and,
yeah.
and their heirs. So, you know, it was a masterful stroke, just as Newt Gingrich back in 94, you know, redefined a number of labels. This was a very well-crafted redefining of a tax, and they got rid of it.
Yeah.
And in Virginia, it's gone.
A lot of people think Frank Luntz, the wordsmith, some would say the Orwellian wordsmith of the right, came up with that. It was actually, I think, an aide to Gingrich who years back developed that.
Yeah.
Came up with death tax.
And he put it in his college curriculum and his, you know, he used to pass out lists of words to use to Republican candidates. You know, use this word, don't use this word.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it turned out to be a very effective changing of the language of our politics.
We actually have an interview coming up next week with some professor out of California who wrote a book about this whole use of words in politics. Jeff Nunberg, I think, is his name. And sort of like a George Lakoff, if you know that writer. We're going to have talk to him next week. Looking forward to that. So you're going to be spending a lot of time in Richmond this month with the transportation issue on the front burner.
I don't know how much they're going to solve. I really think they are. There's very little that's changed in terms of agreement since they got together and couldn't do it back in January through March and couldn't do it back in January through June. You know, there are not a whole lot of new items on the table that the House and Senate agree on. So I think we'll see a minimal effort for transportation in the end of September, and then it becomes a campaign issue.
You think they're going to pass any of these type of regional tax authorities to let, you know, Hampton Roads and
Hampton
Northern
Roads
Virginia?
Isn't ready for that. Hampton Roads, they can't agree on what day it is down there. They can't.
And why is that? Is it because of Norfolk and Virginia Beach can never see eye to eye?
There are a few more regional rivalries within that region than there are even in Northern Virginia, which is far more populous and has a much better record of working together.
Yeah. Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
This interview will be archived in its entirety at cvillepodcast.com. Spread the word.